Thanks for joining us. This is the Perry Hall Family Worship Center podcast. We put out weekly messages from Pastor Dom to leave you encouraged and inspired. Check it out.
We're in our series of evangelism. This really, in one sense, is going to be the last sermon on evangelism, though next Sunday we're going to have the opportunity to invite family, friends, people who don't know Jesus, and to really take that opportunity and invite them. And after church, you know, the service will be a easy type of message. It's not going to be a message like this. I'm going to be really honest with you. This is going to be a little tough message to deliver, but it's a message to help us all kind of, you know, give ourselves a little kickstart in evangelism, in the sharing the gospel. Sometimes this word evangelism can even be a little scary when people hear it. You know, I got to do something here. Well, let me tell you some things about evangelism. It simply means to tell someone about the gospel. I don't know how else to say it. Tell someone about the good news of Jesus Christ. It's really like that simple. Let me tell you what it's not, okay? Here's what it's not. It's not going up to someone and telling them they're wrong. It's not going up to telling someone that, you know, they're in sin. It's not going up to someone and pointing a finger at them, you need to do this. That's not evangelism. Evangelism is not hitting them over the head with the Bible and prove that they are wrong. That's not evangelism. Evangelism also isn't something for other people to do. It's for every Christian to do. Pastor Ed talked about that last week. We might not be like Billy Graham's, but we're all to evangelize. We're all to be sharing the gospel. We're all to be doing the Great Commission, to be doing something. So my title today is this: it's a matter of heaven or hell. A matter of heaven or hell. You know, I think here, and I'm going to be honest with you, to get people motivated, to get me motivated, which happened several years ago, to get me motivated, I had to get a revelation of hell. I know this isn't a pleasant sermon, but it's not necessarily a sermon to convict us unless you're not right with God, but it's a message to boost us to take it to the next level, because we have loved ones that we know that are going to die and go to hell, and we're supposed to do something about it. Someone says this, that Jesus talks more about hell than he talked about heaven. I can't say if that's accurate or not, but I can say one thing. He talked a whole lot about hell. And when he talked about hell, he really describes it very vivid. He doesn't sugarcoat it or anything like that. He talks exactly what hell is going to be like. Some people try to avoid the topic of hell. Some sermons, some pastors, they don't talk about hell. Don't talk about it. It scares me. I don't want to be scared. Let's keep it out of sight, out of mind. Can you preach on something else? People need to hear this message. Christians need to hear this message. This is not a fire and brimstone type of message, because it's really more directed to the Christian. It's really more directed to the Christian. I want to share something that has been in my spirit, my soul, my whatever you want to call it, my heart, for many years. This is a fictitious thing, maybe, I'm not sure, but this is what goes through my mind constantly. And it's this: I wonder how many people will be in hell and screaming out, "Dom, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you grab me by my shoulders and shake me?" Now, that might not sound too, you know, much for you. You might say, oh, whatever. But just meditate on it for a while. Just meditate on that, you know, so-and-so. Why didn't you tell me about God? Why didn't you tell me? You know, you worked next to me for 10 years, you know. You're in my home. You're a good friend of mine. How come you never told me? Let's move on. I want to read something out of Luke chapter 16. Most people know this, know where I'm going with this. It's Jesus talking about heaven and hell. That's really what he's talking about. It's Some people would say it's a parable. I'm not sure if it's a parable. Some people will say it's more of Jesus teaching a vision here. Whatever it may be, Jesus is saying something here pretty bold. Now, he's given us a nice description of it, of heaven and hell, really mainly of hell. In verse 19, he says this, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously," luxurious, let's put it that way, luxurious, "every day." Okay, so first of all, we're setting the story here, a rich guy. He lived every day in luxury, okay? This is an important point here. "But there was a certain beggar," verse 20, "there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." Okay, so we're seeing the two analogies that are taking place here, a rich man and a poor man. The rich man really doesn't have a name here. The poor man is given a name, Lazarus. A lot of us know. You can see how poor he is here. "So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosoms. The rich man also died and was buried. And he, and being in torments," okay, now we're talking about this hell, Hades. You'll see in some of your translations, it'll say Hades. "But being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." Okay, what is one glimpse that you're seeing right in this one verse here? Okay, first he's in torment. Okay, we know he's in Hades or hell, however you want to handle that one there. But it's basically meaning a place where God's not. He lifted up his eyes. He saw Abraham afar off. He was able to see. He was able to see something here. Verse 24, "Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham," verse 25, "but Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is in comfort and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from here, from there pass to us." Let me stop here for a minute. I don't know if you see what's taking place here, okay? But once we leave this planet here, all bets are off the table. This is why you got to get right with Jesus before this time happens. You see the point here that's being placed, that there's a gulf. We can't go back and forth. This also means don't pray for a dead person who's passed away. It's not going to work. It's too late. You know, sometimes we think that, you know, I was raised with purgatory and limbo and praying people out of one place into another. It doesn't happen that way. It's not scriptural. "Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." Take notice what has taken place in this place that he's in. He's recognizing, he's conscious of family members that have not died yet. He's conscious of it. I know this is an uncomfortable message. It's uncomfortable for me to share it, to be honest with you. Where are we at? Verse 30. "And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they did not hear Moses and the prophets, meaning the word of God at that time, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. There was a lot there, but I'm going to sum it up in just some of the little things that I noticed. And I want to start out with saying this. Hell is for real. It's a real place. Why do we talk about it? Because Jesus talked so much about it. Why did Jesus talk so much about it? Because he loves us. And this is the main point here, is realizing that God loves you. This is why he's warning us so many times throughout the scripture. It's a warning. It's a warning sign. It's not something to, you know, scare you in a sense to heaven. It's not some way to manipulate you to get to heaven. It's a real place, and he's warning us. And I see throughout scripture how God continues to warn. You know, it's just like a parent, you know, just like a parent warning their kids, don't touch the coffee pot. It's hot. You know, the pen, it's hot. And you know what? You got to tell them that all the time, especially when they're little. You don't just tell them one time. You got to tell them all the time, all the time. One of the things I was always telling my kids when they were growing up enough, and I would say, if they're going out to Bel Air Road, I say, make sure you stay in the right lane, especially from this point north. It's just crazy. And I would always say, make sure you're in the right lane. Stay in the right lane. Sometimes I still say it to this very day. It's just a warning. It's just a warning. And it's something you want to program into your kids. God is trying to program something into us. I say it. My dad would tell me that. I'm telling my kids that. And it's just a warning. It's all it is. And God has continued to tell us. So we know heaven's real. We see in this account here that there's a place of pain. It's a place of pain without a doubt. But throughout scripture, Jesus is talking about different things of hell. Now, again, I want to say something here. This message is for us as evangelizers. As we're going out and we're going to share the gospel, this is going to fire us up hopefully a little bit. It's not. I'm hoping I'm not really talking to you about hell. Hopefully your heart is right with God. If not, come up with the prayer team at the end. Let them get you right with God. But it's really to put an urge in me and say, you know what? I know people that I know aren't going to heaven. I have to do my part and then let God do his part. Jesus says this in Matthew 8:12. He's talking about this place. We'll be thrown into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Outer darkness. Okay, let me tell you something about hell. It's not where all your buddies are going to be. It's not going to be a party time. It's not going to be drinking and sex and all that kind of stuff. That's not going to be like that. We see it in scripture. What is this gnashing of teeth? This is a description of what it's going to be like in hell. It's grinding. It's grinding the teeth for rage or pain. I often looked at this and I say, this rage kind of meaning anger here. I wonder if people are going to grind their teeth and say, Dom, why didn't you tell me? You know? John, well, why didn't you tell me? You know? But you can see there's pain that's connected with this. Jesus uses a lot of words about hell throughout scripture. And I want to just hit a couple of them. He uses the word fire in Matthew. He uses the word everlasting fire. He uses the word eternal damnation. He uses the word hell fire. He uses the word shall be damned. He uses the words the fire that never shall be quenched. He uses the words where their worm does not die. He uses the words while wailing and gnashing of teeth, or weeping and gnashing of teeth. He uses the word torments, or tormented, in this flame. Place of torment, outer darkness, everlasting punishment. These are the words that Jesus describes hell with. That's why I say it's pretty vivid. He's not like holding no punches. And you know, when you're giving out rules to someone or law, you want to be to the point. You don't want to beat around the bush here, because this is so serious it takes place. I think most of us here today, we believe in the word of God. I think we believe in Jesus Christ. I really do. I think we believe this word is inspired by God. And I can tell you it is, but I think you do as well. So in saying all that, I want to say this. What if Jesus is right? What if he's right? Maybe, you know, you're not looking at it that way. Maybe you don't have a relationship with God. But what if he's right with all this stuff that we just went through? We can't push it to the side and say, I want to do other things. Man, See what has taken place here. What happens if he's right? But when you look at this, you say, no wonder Jesus warns so much about hell. No wonder. Because he doesn't want nobody there. If he didn't care about us, he wouldn't tell us. He might just tell us a couple little things. But he's telling it to warn us. Remember, I'm going back. I'm going to continue to bring us back here. This is about your evangelism. This is about maybe even this week. It's like, don't be ashamed of the gospel. You got loved ones, whether in your home, whether your neighbors, whether someone you work beside all these years, good friends or whatever, you may have never talked to them about the Lord. I like what Pastor Josh said 2 weeks ago. You won't hesitate to talk about your favorite football team. I think Josh says his was Pittsburgh. I'm not sure. He's shaking his head. He just got up and left. But, you know, we don't have a problem talking about our sports. I don't have a problem talking about natural health. I love talking about natural health. I love talking about certain things. People love talking about their hobbies, their job. Most of the times, people, the greatest thing they love is talking about their self. But, you know, God is saying we need to tell other people about Jesus. We have the opportunity coming up to invite them to church. And again, this is not an underlying agenda to grow the church. I hope it grows the church. It really does, though. But I want to see people get saved. I don't want people going to this place called hell. Okay, it's in the Bible. It's very clear. And like I said before, you're not going to hear too many people talking about it. You're not going to hear too many pastors, preachers talking about hell because it flusters people. I like what Jesus says in Mark 8:36. For what will profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Now we go back to that. We go back to the rich man right there. He had everything. He was living in luxury. You know, we could live on this earth being a millionaire, billionaire, having buildings, having businesses, having all these things in our lives, all this stuff. What's to gain if you die? You lose your soul. You die where you're on the same playing field. It's not like anything that you can take with you. Throughout the scripture, there's descriptions of people in pain. Hell is a place of no rest. Hell is a place of consciousness. Okay, again, I hope I'm not stirring up too much with the youngsters or anything, but it's important to understand this, youngsters. Those who in hell know what's going on. Hell is a place of remembrance. They're not like just sleeping away or something like that. And we've seen it all in that text. Read it when you get home. Dissect it. You'll see some more stuff in there. But here's the worst thing about hell. It's a place where God's not. That means your prayers aren't going to work. You're feeling pain. You're feeling worn out. You need God's help. It's not going to work. God is not there. God's not there. And a lot of times we say pain, but this pain could be physical pain, could be mental pain, financial pain, relational pain, whatever it may be. But you don't have God to go to. You can't go to God and say, God, help me with this. It's too late. The game is over. But again, I say the worst part about hell is God not there. God is not there. So God doesn't want you in hell. And a matter of fact, hell wasn't even designed for man. We see in Matthew 25, verse 41, it says, the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This is a real place here. And hell is not a place for you or your friends or your loved ones. Now, when we look at all this thing here, we can say, okay, well, how do we get to heaven? Well, we got to have the relationship with God. In John 14:6 says, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, you can look at that and say, that's pretty narrow-minded. And I want to say, it is narrow-minded. It really is. Matter of fact, the path to heaven is narrow. The Bible says that. So, yeah, this is the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, a relationship with God. So don't be surprised if it's coming across in a way that you have a hard time comprehending. because that's what the Bible says. This is the only way into heaven. No one in hell will receive any comfort when they think about all the luxury they had on earth. Oh man, I had millions of dollars. I had all that. That's not going to bring them any comfort. But I want to say this, and we'll be winding down here soon, is this. People are ready to hear the word of God. They're ready to hear the gospel. Your neighbors, your loved ones are ready. Now, I say that as a blanket statement because we know there's people that want to hear it. They don't have nothing to do with it. There's the wheat and tares. We have them. We know that. But you know what? We're called to do something. We leave the results up to God. We leave the results up to God. We pray for situations. We pray for these divine appointments that we get every day. It could be in the supermarket. You know, you go to the same checkout guy all the time or something like that. But there's people that need to hear the word of God. There's people that need an invitation. Jesus says this in John 4:35. Lift your eyes, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that they are white for harvest. They're ready. People are ready. And sometimes it takes an invitation. Remember, it's not hitting the person over the head with the Bible. It's however you can do it. We know it's lifestyle, without a doubt. But we got to do more than just lifestyle. We got to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Do you all still love me? Okay. Now let's turn this around just a little bit, okay, as we wind down. Let's talk about heaven. We love talking about heaven. I will say this for me, though, the reality of revelation, if you want to say, of heaven and hell really brings purpose into my life. Because really, what is life all about? What is life all about? You know, bigger barns, more employees, more money. What is life all about? It's about getting to heaven, and it's about making sure that your loved ones are going to heaven. Not just about you, it's about you and other people. Revelation chapter 21 gives a good description of heaven. The New Living Translation says it this way: He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. This should be even more exciting. This should be more reason why people want to make sure they're right with God when they die. Because at that point, man, this is it. No more sorrow, you know, no more crying because you lose someone, because there's no more death, you know, no more pain. I think we're all sick and tired of pain, dealing with pain and sickness and things like that. It's all gone. It's all gone in heaven. This is the excitement about heaven and being ready for it. So the story's clear here that we see in Scripture that there is life after death. There is life after death. We talked about a couple weeks ago, there's a path, there's two paths. One going to heaven and one going to hell. Going to heaven is snug, is narrow. Going to hell is broad and wide. You're on one of those paths right now. You're on one of those paths. We're all on one of those paths right now. I pray that everyone who's hearing my voice is on that path to heaven. But I want us to think about the loved ones that we know that's 180 degrees direction that we are, and we know they're going the wrong place. You can say, well, you can't judge a person. Well, that's a wrong interpretation of the scripture, because God tells us we will know them by their fruit and things of that nature. But the point really is I want to make sure that there's an urgency to share the gospel, to evangelize. Yeah, do it in lifestyle. Your life is ever so important. You can't be living in sin and then trying to tell somebody about Jesus. But the point really is, we see that there's two paths. We see there's no purgatory, no limbo. We see all these different things here. And I want to say this. When we die, we're going to hear one of two things said. We're going to go before God. We're going to hear one of two things. Matthew 25:41 says this. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Some, I hope, never hear that word, that saying. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I hope that you're getting a revelation of the importance of sharing the gospel with the people you work with. Stop playing games and stop taking advantage of all the good stuff that God has. You may have a spouse that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm not talking about a religious person. I'm not talking about a good person. Let me tell you something. Hell is going to be full of good people and religious people. But Matthew 25:21 says it this way. You'll hear this. I'm praying that everybody hears this. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over the few things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You were faithful over the few things. What are some of the few things? Sharing the gospel, evangelizing, telling people about him. See, we are God's feet on the ground. You know, we are the boots on the ground for getting the word of God out. Take the church out of the picture and all hell will break loose on earth. So God is using the church. Now the church, I don't mean just this building here. I mean, church is people. So we have a job to do. We have to do everything we can to make sure our loved ones at least have the opportunity to hear the gospel. And I say this as I close. Jesus did not talk so much about hell to scare us. I said this before. He's not putting it in there to scare us. He's putting it in there to warn us. And he's warning us because he loves us. For God so loves you, the Bible says, that he gave his only begotten son. We can't understand God's love without a doubt. But he wants us to spend eternity with them. Now, this message here, if you're saying, I'm not sure what path I'm on, the prayer team's gonna be over here and over here when we conclude. Please go up to them and let them pray with you. Make sure you're on the right path. They'll make sure you're on the right path. Or maybe you need just prayer and encouragement to get through something. Maybe to get the guts up or the boldness up to share the gospel. You know, we have things back over here under the tent to help you. They're like this one here I got right here. It's just a business card and it's saying you are invited. Take them. Give them out. Take some of that other stuff. Our Department of Evangelism, we're going to stock stuff up like that to help you, to equip you to be able to share the gospel. To equip you. It's not just about the pastor's work. It's about everybody to be equipped to share the gospel. Because you know why? God tells us. You know why? You got loved ones that are on the wrong path and you know it and you need to do something about it. I'm sorry about being blunt, but I was talking to someone today, this morning, and they're looking forward to punching the devil in the face. I said, well, get in line. We don't even want to see the devil though. We're not going to have no parts of this clown. Amen. So just allow this message to be encouraging. Okay, don't take the wrong spin out of it. Don't think that I'm gotten political out of here. Don't think that I'm trying to using the scare tactic, because I'm not using the scare tactic on you. I'm telling you, you got people that you need to talk to. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this church here, Lord, and people that were listening online. I thank you for that, Father. Lord, I pray for this word to just be processed in each and every one of our hearts, in our minds, Lord, that we have loved ones, again, spouses, maybe our very own children, or our neighbors, that we know we need to talk to. And Lord, we know we have a job to do, but we know the results is your job. So Lord, I pray for boldness to be upon each and every one of us here today. Father, for this week to be a week of just being able to share the gospel, not hitting them over the head with the Bible, not telling them how wrong they are, but sharing the love of Jesus, what Jesus has done in our lives, Lord. That's a great thing to share in your church, Perry Hall Family Worship Center, and in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for checking out the Perry Hall Family Worship Center podcast. We hope you leave this feeling encouraged, inspired, and a little bit closer to God. If you like what you saw here, leave us a like, a comment. Don't forget to subscribe. If you have any questions, comments, prayer requests, you can send us an email at connect@perryhall.life.